Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
Immediately after the flood, the ocean levels would have been considerably more shallow than they are today. And people think, how do you have shallow oceans after a global flood? Well, folks, we need to remember, there were these huge ice caps that had to melt back. And as that ice is melting back, something's going to be happening. Now, check this out. This is a 96-mile long block of ice, a 96-mile iceberg. It may take a chunk of ice 96 miles long, 5 or 6 years to melt back. Do you know that ice all the way to Kansas City might take 200 or 300 years to melt back? And as that ice is melting back, it would show the effects of the carving it did on the way in. You would have the drumlins and terminal moraines and outwash plains and kettle lakes and basins and all that kind of stuff, the big boulder in the middle of the field. It would show that as it retreats back. That's all. Now, here's something else, folks. Let's think about this. Look at this. Let's look at this global warming thing. Diffusing the global warming time bomb. Global warming is real, and the consequences are potentially disastrous. Let's look at this global warming thing for a minute. Look at this. Nature starts a warm-up. All right. As long as they have been tracking this stuff for over 100 years, there is a tendency to show a slight rise of temperature, globally speaking. Okay, now some years are much colder than average, some years are colder than the year before, but if you average all the stats together, yes, there is a slight warming that is taking place. But wait a minute, that only makes sense. Let me give you an example of global warming. Let's suppose there is an ice age going on in this room right here. This entire room is one big gigantic block of ice, except for maybe about a 2-foot walkway all the way around the outer edge. Okay, so we're going to come in the door back there. We're going to single file. We're going to come through and come all the way around. We're going to tour this ice age. Okay, so about the time we're halfway around, some of us are going to wish we had long sleeves on. Yeah, maybe even a sweater. It's kind of cold in here. That's a lot of ice, you know. Okay, so we finish the ice age tour, and we go on about our business and work for a couple of weeks, and we come back. And we come back 2 weeks later, and now the ice is about the size of this pulpit sitting out there in the middle of the floor. Now, when we walk in, it's not going to be near as cold in here, but it sure is going to be wet. You know what, folks? As that ice is there, it's going to maintain some temperature, but as that ice melts, the water levels are going to start to rise. The shape of the continents are going to totally look different. We used to be able to walk and run and skip and hop and play out there, but now it's all underwater, and now this is the only land showing right up here where I'm standing. Question. Did something happen to take that land and shove it over here? Or did the low spot get filled up with the water when the ice melted? Folks, the only thing that's happened is the low spot's been filled up, that's all. You know what they're starting to say about this ice age stuff and this global warming? And because they say the warming seems to predate human influence. Yeah, it would have to, according to them. Remember that slide for just a bit. Now look, they've gone absolute goofy with this stuff. Look at this thing, no CFCs. Whew. Oh good, I can drink a cup of coffee and not worry about destroying the ozone layer. Please. Folks, come on now, seriously, look at this one. Ozone-safe fire extinguisher. Okay, look, your house is on fire, right? I seriously doubt the first thing on your mind as you go to put the fire out is, oh no, am I going to destroy the ozone layer? Look, put the fire out, okay? I mean, you know, folks, they've gone nuts with this stuff. Absolute goofy. Now, think of this for just a second, would you? The idea, the audacity of man to think we could destroy this planet. Folks, do you realize, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so. Do you understand God put this place here, and by Him all things consist? Do you realize He's the one that's keeping it here? This place isn't going anywhere until God says He's done with it. And there's nothing we could do to change that. It's all in God's control. Do you realize God could look down on this mess and say, never mind, gone. Now, He's not going to do that because He says in His Word how it's all going to play out. But the point is, folks, He put it here. He's the one that's keeping it here. There's nothing we can do about that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this ozone stuff. Ozone. O3 is poisonous. The sun produces the ozone. All right, think of that now. The sun produces the ozone. Ozone, O3, is poisonous. The sun produces the ozone. What happens is the sun strikes the atmosphere. As the sun hits some of the O2 molecules, it splits them. And some of those singles then join up with another O2 and form O3. That is ozone. Ozone is poisonous. The sun produces the ozone. All right, now the sun produces the ozone. You notice outside, if you look out, you know, it's dark. Now, did somebody go up to a big, gigantic breaker box and go, turn the sun off? No, the sun is still shining away. It just happens to be it's on the other side of the planet's light right now, not us, okay? The sun produces the ozone. Just because it's dark outside doesn't mean the sun quit. It's just not shining here right now, that's all. The sun produces the ozone. It's still doing it. Now, the sun produces the ozone. They say, oh no, there's a hole at the north and south. We're going to die. The sun produces the ozone. The sun never strikes the immediate north and south because of the tilt of the earth. The sun never gets there in the first place. So it can't have any ozone there. Folks, the sun produces the ozone, okay? Now, the sun produces the ozone. I don't know if I've mentioned that yet or not. I did? Okay. The sun produces the ozone. Folks, do you realize the only way we could eliminate the ozone layer is if we shot the sun down? We'd have a lot of trouble then besides ozone problems, okay? The sun produces the ozone. Since the sun is producing the ozone, there better be something eating it away. Otherwise, we would reach the magic point where now we have too much ozone. Then we'd have a problem the other side. Look, you can cut your hair today, and you're going to have to cut it again. You could cut your fingernails today, you're going to have to cut them again. You could, now, don't hurt yourself, but when you get home tonight, you could take an old dull butter knife or something and just sort of scratch along on your nose and your cheek. And ooh, oh, yuck. Oh, that's gross. Yuck. You know your skin replaces itself. You know, your blood replaces itself. You know, your everything, folks, everything's in a state of balance. It's no big deal. The sun produces the ozone. Other stuff's eating it away. It has nothing to do with your asthma inhaler. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way that they go and term this stuff now. If we did nothing to do any damage to the ozone, God did. Check this out. Forest soil fungi emit gases that harm ozone layer. Ah, it's the forest's fault we have an ozone problem. We should just whack down all the forest. No, we can't do that either. Folks, this is incredible. Look at this one. Forests belch greenhouse gases. Tropical rainforests are emitting more methane than they previously thought. As a matter of fact, folks, check this out. The methane findings are baffling scientists. The terrestrial plants produce the greenhouse gas methane, and they're back to the drawing board with these guys. And the newly revealed methane emissions have taken plant physiologists by surprise. These huge methane sources of up to a third of all the methane produced are coming from the forests out there. It's not your car after all. How about that? Folks, I mean, they don't have a clue about stuff. I mean, there's so many examples of this kind of thing. Remember when some states have strict emissions laws on their cars, you know, you don't even have to pass inspection. You got to pass emissions inspection too, because we're polluting the planet. We're going to, you know, we got to clean up the air. Yeah. Check this out. Clear skies raise global warming estimates. Clear skies. Searing times ahead as the air gets cleaner. How about this one? Aerosols and dust in the air may have shielded us from the worst of global warming. Folks, first they said the air's too dirty, it's going to cook us, and now they're saying, oh no, we've cleaned it up too well, now it's going to cook us. Folks, they don't have a clue. They really don't. All this stuff, you know what this is, folks? It has nothing to do with reality. It's money and control. That's all this stuff is. It has nothing to do with anything. Hey, remember the old days you'd go to the grocery store and get a paper bag, get your stuff, carry it home like this, you know? Well, now we're going to save the planet. We're polluting the planet with all these bags. So now they're going to have these goofy plastic bags that now when you get home, you have to rebag your stuff because in the car on the way home, it all falls out, you know? So now you got to rebag it. But we're going to save the planet. We are all over this country. You know, there are places where we go and say we want paper to bag our stuff, and they look at us like, oh, you lowlife, you know? There are some places that charge a couple of pennies for the paper bags. It is absolutely incredible. Well, check this out. The plastic bag has become the environmentalist public enemy number one because they're not working out the way they thought they were. Folks, it has nothing to do with anything, you know? Hey, how about this one? June 2005, Nature. Scientists, this is revealing. Now check this out. To protect scientists behaving badly, to protect the integrity of science, we must look beyond falsification, fabrication, and plagiarism to a wider range of questionable research practices. Certain features of the working environment of science may have unexpected and potentially detrimental effects on the ethical dimensions of scientists' work. You know, like what they present to the kids. Look at this one. Our findings suggest that the U.S. scientists engage in a range of behavior extending far beyond falsification, fabrication, and plagiarism. Folks, I'll tell you what. It's in turmoil out there. They really don't have anything, but boy, by the time it's presented to the public, it's always presented as they've got all the solutions and all the answers, and you're goofy if you don't believe them. You must be a religious wacko or something. Folks, I'm telling you, they have a belief system, and all of this stuff, it's about control and it's about money, and it has really nothing else to do with anything. But anyway, now let's get back to the ice for a minute. Now, we're definitely losing our ice. That's true. As a matter of fact, folks, Mount Kenya has lost 92% of its ice mass. Mount Kilimanjaro has lost 73%. Montana's Glacier National Park, in about 100 years, there will probably be no glaciers in it. We were out at Montana's Glacier National Park, and we go to the different visitor centers, and especially the big one, the main one. I went in there, and I was looking at all the stuff they had for sale, you know, on the walls and things. I didn't see what I wanted. I went up to one of these rangers, and I said, excuse me, do you have something on the condition of the ice in Glacier National Park? And this lady said, well, no, not for sale, not for the public. And I said, well, do you have anything on the condition of the ice at Glacier National Park? And she said, well, yeah, sure, we have our own studies and reports and such. And I said, well, do you have any of it here? She said, yeah, it's back in the office. I said, well, could I see some of it? And she's, I guess, I don't know, yeah, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that before, you know? So she goes back there, and she brings out this stuff, you know, stacks, and she plops it up on the desk, and we're going through this thing, you know, and it's like, I said, well, this is cool. I said, hey, could I take some pictures of some of this stuff? She's like, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, here's just one page. I mean, we've got lots of this now, but here's 1932. Now check this out. Here are four people right here. There are four more there, but you can't see them. They're in the shadowing right there. But here's the point. In 1932, this was big glaciers. And now, as of 1988, it's green stuff growing. Folks, there are all sorts of places across this planet where ice used to dominate, but now it's green stuff growing there. We are losing our ice. That is true. As a matter of fact, in 1980, Spain had 27 glaciers. They're down to 13. New Zealand's lost 26%. The Alps have lost 50%. We are losing our ice. Meltdown in the north. Sea ice and glaciers are melting. Permafrost is thawing. Tundra is yielding to shrubs. There are areas of green stuff now growing where it used to be ice. In fact, the reduction of the sea ice is one of the most striking measures of the change in the Arctic. The total area covered by sea ice has shrunk by 3% during each of the past three decades. The thickness has decreased by even as much as 40% in some places. We are losing our ice. We were doing a seminar in New York, and this lady brings in a bag, paper bag, full of a bunch of photos and videos and things. They had been on a cruise to Alaska. She said, here, go through this and take whatever you want. So I got a lot of it. But anyway, the advertisement that she had for the brochure for the boat that she was on showed where this was all solid ice, all of this. And now it's so cleaned out that the big ships, the cruise ships, can come through there without any danger of striking anything. It's all clean. These right here, these ice chunks are the size of school buses. They're huge. This stuff, she's got video of this stuff. It's just falling apart. Falling apart right before our eyes. We are losing our ice. Green stuff growing where it used to be ice. In fact, this is funny. The French Alps, there's this. They have this big gondola ride thing. You ride up, takes, you know, 50, 60 people, and then you can walk. They have a staircase that goes to the edge of the glacier. Every year, they have to add more steps to the staircase to lead to the edge of the glacier because it's melting away. The edge is no longer the edge. We are losing our ice all over the place. That's true. Now, this is important. The speed that this stuff is moving and melting and breaking is 3 to 8 times faster than it used to be. Now watch this. If, let's suppose for a moment that we've got a big block, 1 gallon block of ice sitting right here on this table. And then over here we've got an ice cube, like you put an ice cube of ice in your iced tea glass. And then over here we have just a slight little shaving, sliver of ice. Okay, now this sliver of ice is going to be gone first because there's not much there. This one will be next, this big one will be next. Now we could take this big gallon jug of ice and whack it in half. Now it's going to melt faster because now we have just added more surface area exposed to the atmosphere. We could whack it again and again and again and again and again. We could chop that thing up into a bunch of little chunks like this and it'll melt faster because there's much more surface area exposed to the atmosphere. The problem is, as this stuff is breaking apart and moving, it's breaking apart and moving and melting away 3 to 8 times, depending on where it is exactly, faster than it used to be, because now there's so much more surface area exposed to the atmosphere. This is a very important point because it is melting faster and faster and faster. But now here's the thing. Folks, we had ice all the way down to Kansas City once upon a time. Now the news flash of the day is it's not down there anymore. Folks, this stuff has been melting back ever since the moment it was put there. Why do we think it should stop melting today? How come it's your fault all of a sudden the ice is melting today? If it's your fault it was melting, it's melting today, whose fault was it when it was all the way down here? Folks, do you realize that's why they're saying this warming seems to predate human influence? Because according to these people, when the ice was all the way down here, we were just a bunch of dumb old cavemen. We didn't even have asthma inhalers. We didn't even know how to make fire back then, according to these folks. So if it's our fault it's melting now, then whose fault was it when it was down here and melting? Folks, it has nothing to do with us. It has been melting since the moment it was put there. It's not supposed to be there. It came in as a consequence of sin at the time of the flood. It's been melting back, and it's not going to stop until it's gone. And there's nothing we could do to stop it. Genesis 10, verse 25 says, "And unto Eber were born 2 sons, and the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided." Now, people that want to put the idea of Pangaea into the Bible, this is where they want to put it. It says the earth is divided, so they say that must have been when the continents ripped apart. I don't think so, for several reasons. First of all, the flood is a pretty major event in the Bible. I mean, God spends a lot of time talking about warning it's coming, and here it is, and consequences afterwards, and he refers later on, thousands of years later on, you know, he refers back to the time and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, that's a major event. Ripping apart of the entire landmass on this planet, moving half of it halfway around the planet, that's a pretty major event. It does not seem like God to give us half of one sentence to tell us something that drastic. It just doesn't seem like that's the way he does. Another thing, there are 273 cultures, 273, that have flood stories, flood legends, very closely paralleling the biblical account of the flood. Big boat, 8 people, lots of animals, 273 cultures. There is not a single culture anywhere that has an account of the continents ripping apart, moving around. Nobody has that. Now, the evolutionists say, well, of course not, silly. That was hundreds of millions of years ago. Man wasn't even here. Well, now, wait a minute. Matthew 19:4 and Mark 10:6, remember from Sunday morning, Jesus Christ said Adam and Eve were here from the beginning of the creation. As a matter of fact, Genesis 1 says it was a 6-day creation, climax with the creation of mankind. Well, everything was made within just days of each other, from the stars farthest out there to the tomato plants and everything else in between. Folks, everything was made in a 6-day time frame. God wrote in stone with his own finger in the middle of the Ten Commandments. It was 6 days, and it was everything, Exodus 20:11. Everything was made at the same time. Man's been here, which certainly seems to me to think, I would believe that if man's been here all along and the continents really did rip apart and move, you would certainly think somebody would have thought to make a note about that, you know, somewhere around, but nobody's got an account of that because maybe that didn't happen that way, you see. In fact, we have this longevity chart. Here's where the flood line comes down. And unto Eber were born 2 sons. Peleg was born about 100 years after the flood. Peleg lived for 239 years. Do you know that ice all the way to Kansas City might have taken 200 or 300 years to melt back? And as that ice is melting back, things are going to happen. You know, folks, words mean things. It's a shame we've gotten away from that. You know, Peleg means to divide by water, irrigation, river, stream, gully, division, river. You know, Peleg means to divide by water. During his lifetime, the Tower of Babel happened. You know, God mixes up the languages. Everybody disperses off into groups that can understand each other. Ice caps are melting back. Water levels are rising. Shape of the continents would totally look different. And everybody's divided by water after Babel during Peleg, which means to divide by water. Makes perfect sense to me. You know, I mean, it's very straightforward, as a matter of fact. And that is, in fact, all the that is a big bugaboo for the evolutionists, because they acknowledge that all the land masses are still connected together. And at one time, the oceans were shallow, and things could walk from one to the other. People say to me all the time, they say, "You think the kangaroos hopped all the way down to Australia?" Oh, please. Folks, there's no problem with that. You know, you could walk less than 250 feet a day. You could travel 20,000 miles. That's all the way around in just 1,000 years. All right, that's too long, so let's double it. Walk 500 feet a day. You could do it in 500 years. Hey, walk 1,000 feet a day. You could do it in 250 years. Walk 2,000 feet a day. You could do it in 125 years. Walk 4,000 feet a day. You could do it in 75 years. And that's all the way around. You could take that figure and cut it in half. Do you realize total dispersion on this planet could have happened easily, allowing for all sorts of problems? 60, 80 years, not a problem. During that time, ice caps are melting back. Water levels are rising. Shape of the continents would totally look different. Everybody's divided by water, which means Peleg during his lifetime, after Babel. It all just fits. It all makes perfect sense. And that's when the different nationalities and cultures and all that came in. That's no big deal. It's just genetics. Oriental people do not have slanted eyes. They have a little more fat under the eyelids, a little tighter in the corner. It's just genetics. That's all. It's no big thing. I'll give you an example. Let's suppose for a moment that I'm not married, and I want to get married and have a family. All right, now let's suppose that there are 100,000 of us in this region, and we are the only people on this planet. Okay, so I want to get married and have a family. So I've got 100,000 that I can select from, right? No, I can't pick myself. Okay, so I've got 100,000 minus me, right? No, this is not Vermont. I'm not picking from any guys, okay? Forget it. Okay, so I've got all of the females that I could select from, right? No, some of them are just little kids. Some of them probably belong to somebody else already, you know? What is my selection? There are 100,000 of us. My selection would come from all of the females that are old enough, that are not taken yet, that like me, right? I mean, you know, we got to get along. They got to be of age. They got to be a female, and they can't belong to somebody else. Okay, that's my selection, as is everybody else's. Okay, so now all of a sudden, God mixes up our languages, and we just don't understand each other the way we used to. We played badminton at each other's house and barbecue at each other's house every weekend, but we can't understand each other anymore, so there's no reason to hang around. But there are smaller groups of us that can communicate and get along. So now my selection went from this all the way down to this, as everybody else's did also. And smaller groups of people are dispersing out. And then the ice caps are melting back, and the water levels are rising, and the shape of the continents would totally look different, and everybody's divided by water, which Peleg means to divide by water during his lifetime, after Babel, and everybody's divided by water, and dominant genetics in any one location would surface. And you'd have different looking people, but they're all still people. And everybody goes back to a point where they all go back to Adam and Eve. It's no big problem. It's like several other issues. Look, check this out. The reality of race. There's hardly any difference in the DNA of human races. Race doesn't exist, the mantra went. The DNA inside people with different complexions and hair textures is 99.9% alike. As a matter of fact, the genetic difference between two individuals of the same race can be greater than those between individuals of different races. Folks, do you know that two black people can be genetically further apart than one black, one white? Do you know that two white people can be genetically further apart than one white, one black? We are no better because of shape of eyes or color of skin or anything of the sort. We are all still people. Everybody goes back to Adam and Eve. As a matter of fact, skin color, think of it now. How many colors of skin are there anyway? Folks, do you realize there is only one color of skin? Melanin only comes in one color. It depends how much you have or you don't have as to how light or how dark a person is. It's just genetics. I have people ask me all the time it comes up. People say, "So Steve, where do you think the black people came from?" I say, "Well, you know, a more appropriate question might be, Steve, where do you think the white people came from?" Folks, Adam and Eve were pretty dark folks. They had the genetic ability to have babies all kinds of different ways. And a matter of fact, they could even have them that way at the same time. Check this out. Some hymnals have these songs, "And Can It Be?" This is a pretty good one. This one talks about Adam's helpless race. Folks, if you only remember one thing from the whole seminar, please remember this. There is only one race of people. It is the human race. God made Adam and Eve. Everybody that ever has been and ever will be goes back to Adam and Eve. Does not matter what they look like or when they lived. It's just, now, there are different genetics and all that for diversification, but everybody goes back to the same point. We're all still people. Everybody is still in the same family tree together today. Everybody. You can't get around it. Now, give you an example of how this might work. We were doing a seminar south side of Chicago one time, And I noticed this fella sitting in the back. There are about 250 people or so, and he was sitting in the back. And I noticed him last night and tonight. Well, after tonight, I went up to this guy and I said, "Excuse me, sir, I'd like to talk to you, if I may." And he said, "Sure." I said, "Could we walk back up front?" I had a bunch of stuff out. He said, "Sure." So as we're walking back up front, we're just sort of chatting, you know. And I said, "Look, first of all, I don't know you, do I?" He said, "No, we've never met." I said, "Okay, I didn't think so. I just wanted to make sure." I said, "Look, I saw you last night and tonight. Is that it?" He said, "Yeah, I came out last night. I enjoyed it. Brought my family back tonight." I said, "Okay, just want to make sure." I said, "Listen, man, I'm going to apologize going into this thing. I may offend you. Please understand, I do not mean to offend you." And he's looking at me funny. And I said, "What are you?" He said, "Well, I'm Indian. Why?" He said, "Well, I kind of thought," I said, "Well, I thought so, but I didn't want to just assume it and be wrong. And, you know," he's looking at me funny. And I said, "I think I know something about you that you don't know I know." And now he's getting worried. I said, "Hey, don't worry about me, man." We both had black pants on. I said, "You know, I'd be willing to bet you have people in your family that are as black as our pants, don't you?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I got people in my family. They're so black, they're blue." That's what he said. I said, "I thought so." I said, "I'll be willing to bet you have people in your family now that are lighter than me, don't you?" He said, "Yeah, you've got kind of an olive complexion to yourself." He said, "Yeah, you're actually kind of dark. I've got people in my family. They're a lot lighter than you." Folks, these guys have the genetic capability to have babies both ways. Again, they can even have them at the same time that way. Out of a British newspaper, twins, one is black and one is white. We are no better or worse because of color of skin, shape of eyes, or any of that stuff. Anyway, back down to the Antarctic now. Now, March 93, West Antarctic ice sheet. There was about a 43-kilometer long crack around the thing, and they're studying the thing to see if it's at risk of draining completely into the ocean, which will set off a 16-foot hike in sea level worldwide. It's not really a matter of if, it's a matter of when. If we are here long enough, it is going to happen. Back in 2000, there was a real sliver, a real thin sliver, about 20 kilometers long of this thing that actually did break off. And again, the melting, folks, is 3 to 8 times faster, and the movement and everything. In every location, this is happening. But now check it out. If the whole thing melts back, 63 million people east and Gulf Coast of the United States alone will be out of a place to live. Didn't hear much until 1997. Then Antarctic meltdown. Here's the one sheet. Now there's a second one. And now there's actually a third one. The thing is falling apart. Equal melting takes place from the north and the south. It's each side. The thing is falling apart, both ends. But check this out. This is current science, December 2001. Maine. Sea level has risen by as much as 20 inches along the coast of Maine during the last 250 years. Basically, since this nation has been a nation, the coastline in Maine has risen by about 2 feet. Average, okay? Now check this out. A gradual rise in Earth temperature during the last 100 years has caused icebergs like this one to melt and add more water to the oceans. Rising temperatures have melted glaciers and polar ice caps, adding more water to the oceans. Many scientists blame global warming on an increased output of greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide and blah, blah. They go and put their political slant on the thing. Now, wait a minute. Let's look at this again. Watch this. Rising temperatures have melted glaciers and polar ice caps, adding more water to the oceans. Question. Are rising temperatures melting the ice? Or is the ice melting, causing the temperature to rise? Now, folks, think about this for a second. You've got ice in this building, maintaining the whole, the big building. That's a lot of ice. It's going to be cold when we walk in here. You've got ice all the way to Kansas City. It's going to be cold if you're standing up against next to it. It's already cold. But the problem is this, folks. That's a lot of ice that has itself to maintain, but there's nowhere near enough ice to maintain against the atmosphere. Do you realize it's already too warm? The warming's been the problem originally. And as it's warming, it's melting and warming and melting and warming and melting and warming and melting. And it's working hand in hand. We have already crossed over the halfway mark where now there's too little ice to maintain against the temperature. And this thing is melting faster and faster and faster and faster.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.